Some will say it's foolish, some that it's absurd, but still we choose to build our lives upon God's holy word. We know it's always perfect, we trust it in all things, it's holy and it's right, so whatever this life brings, we stand on what is timeless, we stand on what is true, we stand up unashamed no matter what the world may do. We stand upon this rock, spoken by the Lord of all, and though other lives built on sand may fall,
we stand. It may not be in fashion, it may not be in vogue, but when we look at empty lives all around, we know we could live pursuing power, thinking pleasure satisfies. God's light cuts through the shadows, revealing there just lies.
We stand on what is timeless, we stand on what is true, we stand up unashamed no matter what the world may do.
We stand upon this rock, spoken by the Lord of all, and though other lives built on sand may fall,
we stand. Let us trust his every word, resisting every wrong. Let us read it and believe it. It's our only hope for standing strong. We stand on what is timeless. We stand on what is true. We stand up unashamed no matter what the world may do.
We stand upon this rock, spoken by the Lord of all.
Other lives built on sand may fall. We stand,
we stand,
we stand, we stand.
And aren't you thankful we have the Word of God to stand on in our lives? What a blessing that is. A couple things I want to give you. I missed a couple things tonight that I wanted to give you some announcements about or to pass out. We do have a King's Kids ribbon. I realized I said it here in the pulpit, and I wanted to get this out before we get to the preaching time. And we have Miss Ava Rodriguez has passed the beginner's level in the King's Kids program. If you would come on up here, give her a hand. She gets her ribbon tonight. Good job, Ava. Proud of you. Very good. Our King's Kids program is a great opportunity for our kids learning the Word of God. So thank you for that. Good job working on that. Also, I did said this morning, but want to say again, thank you for our young people and our workers and our bus routes, getting our buses all cleaned up yesterday, scrubbing them up inside and out. You could eat off the floor in there. I wouldn't suggest it, but before it was clean, they would, yeah. I think they were daring each other to eat stuff off the floor yesterday. Actually, I know that they were. It was probably some kind of a bus competition. They might have got points for it even. But thank you for that. Appreciate that for our workers doing that as well. And let's stand to our feet. We'll read from the Word of God in Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter 8, if you take your Bibles and turn there. Acts chapter 8, please. Acts chapter and number 8, and we'll begin reading in verse number 26. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26. You follow along as we read the Word of God tonight. Acts 8, verse 26, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Let's pray. I pray for your help, Lord, with the message tonight, Lord, that your word would go forth with power, with clarity. Please help me, Lord, to say what I should and not what I shouldn't, and help every listener to hear what is needed tonight, that you'd speak to our hearts and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. In Acts chapter number 8, we see here this passage where God is sending Philip, and he is going to the desert, which is where you would think to go to preach the gospel, but that's where God had sent him. And to find this man, this eunuch under Candace, the Bible says the queen of Ethiopia. And as he went there and found this man in the desert reading from the Word of God, and God led him to a specific place, to a specific purpose, at a specific time, to find one person to give the gospel to them so they would know Jesus Christ as their Savior and their way to heaven. Have you ever noticed as you get a chance to tell people about the Lord that sometimes you find the most unusual times where God opens the door to give the gospel? At the most unusual times it may seem, maybe there was times where there was a closed door that God opened that door. Maybe there was a circumstance that came by someone's life that just changed their openness to the gospel, and it happened really in just a moment. And tonight I want to preach a message about this man, Philip, that God used one man to tell one man how to go to heaven, and how God can use you in someone's life. And I want to give you a challenge tonight from this passage. I want to ask you a couple of questions we begin tonight. Have you ever thought this? Why is God using others and not me? You ever thought that? You thought, Lord, I'm really praying, I'm trying, I'm working, I'm laboring, but why does it seem that God is using others and not me? And it may be in this area of witnessing, and that's what we're going to focus on tonight. Maybe you thought this, you know, I'm being faithful and I'm being a witness and I'm trying to do my part, but why am I not seeing souls saved? Now you think about this, if you're going soul winning, wouldn't it be a blessing to see a soul saved? Amen? Wouldn't that be the goal of what we are trying to accomplish, what God is trying to accomplish, I should say? And sometimes it can get discouraging knocking on doors and giving out tracts and witnessing to friends, loved ones, to neighbors or relatives. And you think, God, why have I not been able to see someone saved? Maybe you ask yourself this, doesn't God want to use me? Or couldn't God use me? I think too many times we try to excuse ourselves and we kind of check ourselves out of the equation and say, God can't use me. I can't do this. And we're starting to say what God can or can't do with our lives. That's not our place to say that, right? If God has called us, He's equipped us and given us the opportunity to be the witness. Maybe you ask yourself this, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? What am I missing when it comes to being a gospel witness? Maybe you're thinking, I could never lead someone to the Lord. Maybe the devil or your flesh has convinced you, I could never lead someone to the Lord. I could never go through the plan of salvation and tell a soul about Jesus Christ. Some would say this, I don't have the gift of soul winning. I heard that years before, and about someone that was preaching the gospel, and someone said, I'm glad you have the gift of preaching the gospel. That's not a gift, that's a command. Amen? It's not a gift, it's not a suggestion, it is a command. Maybe you're thinking, God hasn't called me to give the gospel. Well, it's not true. If you're saved, God's called you. Amen? God's given you that responsibility as well. Maybe you think this, they wouldn't listen to me. I've been there before. They don't want to listen. They're busy. They have their beliefs. We convince ourselves. But again, I believe that there are more people that are ready to be saved if we're willing and we're able and we're doing our job to be a soul winner. In a city of 90,000 people or so, there are people all around us every day, every week, that must be ready to hear the gospel. Now we know that the Bible says that some plant and some water, but God gives the increase. We don't save people ourselves, right? You don't save anyone. I don't. Shasta Baptist Church doesn't save a single soul. Jesus Christ is the one that saves. But we are the vehicle, the vessel that God has chosen to use to preach the gospel to every creature, the Bible says. That's a responsibility that you have in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your city, where God has placed you, is to be a gospel witness. I want to look at this passage tonight about maybe some reasons or things what we're missing in our part with giving out the gospel, and how God could use you, not someday, but this week, to give the gospel to see a soul saved. I love hearing about souls being saved, don't you? I love hearing salvation testimonies. I love hearing how someone came to know the Lord and repented of their sin and trusted in Christ. I love getting to hear about someone that gets to open their Bible or give a gospel tract out and be a witness to somebody. I love hearing that. And I want to encourage you with this thought. What if God were to use you this week to be a gospel witness and see a soul saved? Would you desire that in your life? Would you be willing to be that vessel that God would use? I want to look at this passage tonight and to look at a few points about how God used a man named Philip. Sometimes we think, well, God can't use me. God uses people that have greater abilities than I do. God can use someone else that has a greater calling or a bigger title or more personality, and this is a big one, or someone that's outgoing. I don't know anyone that loves talking to strangers. That's not true. There are some people that will never let you go. If you start talking to them, you are now a slave to the conversation. You will not leave. If it's the checkout line at a grocery store or the bank or whatever, I was in the bank a while ago, and there was a man that was holding the bank teller hostage, not literally, but figuratively speaking. Don't get worried, I got out alive. But he was giving her this whole conversation, and a couple times actually, in the same bank actually, and that's why you do online banking now. But they were holding the person hostage, telling their life story, and the bank teller was just kindly, and was like, and I know they're thinking, just let me go. I've got some other things I need to do. But I want to encourage you with a thought today about how God could use you to be a gospel, not someday, but today, this week, this month, to see a soul saved. Number one, we look at a couple points tonight, how God used a simple man named Philip to lead a man in a desert, this Ethiopian man, this eunuch, and lead him to Christ. Number one is this, he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Look at verse number 26, and it says, and the angel of the Lord, what's the next word? He spake unto who? Unto Philip. It was a specific calling, the voice from the angel of God to a man named Philip that was not in the area, that didn't know this man, but said, I want you to go to find someone that's in the desert. We'll read the passage more in a bit, that was ready to be saved, and God prepared one man's heart to receive the gospel and another person to come and to give him the gospel so that he could be saved. And there was a man that was ready to go because he was sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. The angel of the Lord, the Bible says, he spake unto Philip. You know, when someone's speaking, the other part of that must be that someone is listening. Someone's listening, and he spake to Philip and said, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down into Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. God gave him a specific calling and a purpose and a plan to give the gospel to someone. Here's the problem that we have too many times. We are too busy and distracted to hear the voice of God. Too many times we are too busy on our phones and on our Bluetooth, whatever. Everything is Bluetooth today, isn't it? Glasses are Bluetooth, and your earphones are Bluetooth, and your TV is Bluetooth. And it's all listening to us right now, and they're telling the government all your secrets. I didn't know if you knew that, but they're listening. Everything's got to be Bluetooth today. Why? To get you detached from society and to keep you, I believe, as a Christian, from hearing the voice of God. When's the last time you were quiet and you listened to the leading of God in your life? Many times we're too busy talking and too busy doing, and not bad things, but how often are you just simply listening and listening for the voice of God in your life? Christian, do you want to be Holy Spirit-led in your life? Husband and father and mother and wife and children, do you want God to lead your life? Then you have to be willing to stop and to listen to the voice of God in your life. God spoke to Philip and he told him to go to the way that goeth unto Jerusalem, to Gaza, which is desert. Look down in verse number 29. We'll get back to these verses in the middle in a moment. And when he went in verse number 29, again the Bible says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So as Philip went, the Holy Spirit spake to Philip again, said, I want you to go and join yourself near. And Philip was listening to the voice of God. Are you listening to God's leading in your life? I believe this, that there might not be anything nearer to the heart of God than to telling someone how to escape the judgment of hell and how to have a home in heaven and how God loves them and died for them. I can't believe that God is not telling us more. Talk to that person across the street. Give them an invitation. They're walking by. There's that neighbor again. There's that person you see. And you give that gospel tract and pray and witness that God would do the work, that if you would simply just be willing to follow His leading, that God would do the work of saving the souls. Again, the Bible says that some plant and some water, but God gives the increase. At some point, there has to be obedience to follow and do what God has commanded us to do. I think sometimes we think, well, if I just wait, then someone's magically going to fall at my feet and say, what must I do to be saved? That happened once in Scripture. That's happened a couple times in my life, but not very often, where someone just comes to you. You must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit leading of God. And that's why it's so important, Christian, that you have a walk with God, that you speak with God. See, your time with God is not just you talking, not just God talking to you, but you talking to God. It's a relationship that God wants to have with you, where you pray and you talk to God and say, God, would you speak to my heart? Would you lead my life? Christian, when's the last time you could truly say, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that God spoke to me, not audibly, but in your heart, and you know that God was speaking to you and you listened to the voice of God? Do you desire that in your life? That God would speak to your heart? That God would direct your life? That you know exactly what I'm doing is, of course, based on the Word of God, but that God directs you in His will and His plan for your life that day, that you listen to the voice of God. The Holy Spirit's leading is clear and direct if you're sensitive to His voice. I believe that many people think, how do I know when God is actually speaking to me? If you know it's a spiritual direction that follows the Word of God, God will never lead you to do something against the Word of God. But if God is leading you and giving spiritual direction in your life, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart. Do you want to hear the voice of God and God's direction in your life? Say, why is it important for the Holy Spirit to speak? Because God, again, prepared a man to find a man that had never met each other, didn't know each other, would have maybe never crossed paths, that God, by His divine intervention and God's divine plan, put them together, because the Holy Spirit knows what we don't know and is preparing people that we don't even know in their hearts. Are you willing to listen to the voice of God? Why don't we hear the voice of God? Many times because we're too worldly. We're too much in tune with the things of the world that sin that we're involved in, the things we're involved in the world, block out the voice of God in our lives because we're not walking with God, we're not right with God. And so how could God speak to us if we're not walking with Him? We're not clean and we're not right with God. Again, maybe just too busy, just too distracted, just too many things going on. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, a very short verse, it says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. To quench is to extinguish, to suppress, or to put out. When God speaks to your heart, you've been there before, and God speaks in your heart, and you say, God, I really don't want to do that. I really don't want to go there. There's been many times, even while I'm out soul winning, and I'm knocking on doors, or I'm going to visit people, and God sends someone on the other side of the street, or you put tracks in your pocket as you go in the store and thought, if I'm ready to be a witness to God, if you put someone in my path. And then God puts someone in your path and you go, but God, I don't want to talk to them. You do that, right? But God, I don't, you get nervous or, you know, and you kind of cowered away from it and you quench the Spirit of God speaking to your heart and you miss an opportunity, but so do they. When you quench the Spirit of giving the gospel, you are missing an opportunity, but also you are missing an opportunity for them to hear the gospel as well. Are you listening to the voice of God in your life? It's so important, Christian, that you walk with God and that every decision, every day that God is leading, every step you take, because every step you take is important to God. And God will lead you in ways that you may not understand or see, but point you to someone that needs to hear about the Lord. Are you listening to the voice of God? Number two is this. We see that there was immediate and complete obedience. Look in verse number 27. After God spoke to Philip the first time and told him to go to Jerusalem, to Gaza, which is desert. And the Bible says in verse number 27, and he, what? Arose and what? And went. And he got up from whatever he was doing. He dropped what he was doing. He could have said, but I'm busy. But God, I'm serving you here. But I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And we quench the Spirit and say, God, but I don't need to do that. And instead, he dropped and immediately went to where God had called him to go. Again, the second time, as he went to find this man reading from the book of Isaiah, and verse 29, and the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip, what's the next word after that in verse number 30? And Philip what? He did what? He ran. He ran. Too many times, you know, God's trying to pull us kicking and screaming, and God, I don't want to. God, if you force me to. And say, when God speaks, and it's God, I'm listening, God. And God said, I want you to go to talk to that man up in the chariot. Now, the chariot in the passage seems to be moving. He said, go and join yourself to the chariot. And he went running up to that chariot, probably looked a little crazy, probably looked a little different. But he had a task where he was sent by God, and the purpose of what he had was more important than anything else going on that day. He had immediate and complete obedience to God. Do you ever wonder why God chooses to use some people and not others? Many times it's simply because some are just willing to say yes to God and others are saying no. You say no to God enough, God's going to stop calling. God's going to stop asking. God's going to go find someone else if you're not willing to go and you're not willing to speak up. But I can tell you this, that God wants to use you if you would just say yes to the Lord. We say, well, how could I do it? And I don't know. And we give the excuses. God said, I want you to go. And guess what? He said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I'm not sending you alone. I'll be with you. Immediate and complete obedience. To have obedience, you must have a burden. When it comes to giving the gospel, you must have a burden for the lost. Christian, we better not lose our burden for the lost. I think sometimes because we're saved and on our way to heaven that we think, you know, well, I'm saved and I don't have to worry about a place called hell, but there's people all around us that need to hear about Jesus Christ, and we think, well, I'm good, and I'm sure they'll figure it out. We better not get calloused in this world. We better not get calloused looking around to people and think, well, I don't know, and maybe later. You must keep that burden fresh in your heart. What did Jesus say? Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. People are out there looking for the truth. They're looking for the gospel. They're looking for someone just to speak up. But while we don't keep a burden because we're not keeping our eyes on the harvest that is ready to receive Jesus Christ. You must have a burden, but you also must have urgency. Urgency. I believe one of the greatest lies of the devil is tomorrow. Tomorrow. Just get saved tomorrow. Do God's will tomorrow. But you know what? Tomorrow never seems to come, doesn't it? Tomorrow never seems to come. We need to have some urgency when it comes to giving out the gospel. Why? Because it's life or death situation, isn't it? It's not a casual situation. You see someone that's dying, wouldn't you step in and try to help and do what you can? Call someone, do something. You'd want to be a help. There'd be urgency because their life is there. But too many times we're like the, the priest and the Levite going by the Samaritan, and you see someone that needs help, and we go say, I'm going to cross to the other side. You have to have urgency when it comes to the gospel. We must have boldness when it comes to the gospel as well. You know, it takes some boldness to speak up and just say, hey, I want to invite you to Shasta Baptist Church. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Do you know if you died today, you'd be 100% sure that you go to heaven? You have no idea the response you're going to get when it comes to that. Have some boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had complete and immediate obedience. Number three is this. He preached a clear presentation of the gospel. As he went to him in verse 30, and he said, it says here, and Philip ran thither to meet him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I want to encourage you with a couple of thoughts with this tonight as I was studying and preparing for this. I want you to notice how this conversation started. He ran thither to him. And look at what's the first thing that he did after. He ran thither to him and he what? He heard him. Listen, he heard him. He was sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading, but he was listening to the person that God directed him to, and he listened to him. He heard him. He listened, and then it continues on. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He listened to him, and he asked him a question. Do you understand what you're reading? He didn't specifically say, do you know if you died today, you'd be 100% sure you go to heaven? But he said, do you understand what you're reading? Do you know what the Bible says? Do you know Jesus? Do you know that you have a home in heaven? He asked him a question. Do you know? He cared enough to talk to this man, to jump in the chariot with him upon his request, and asked him, he listened to him, he asked him a question. The Bible says here, he sat with him. And then he said, how can I, some man should guide me? And he desired that Philip would come and sit with him. And then in verse number 35, he read in the passage here from Isaiah. We'll come back to that in a moment. And then in verse number 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He gave him a clear presentation of the gospel. I wonder how many people that we cross on a daily basis have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. We were out soul winning yesterday and inviting people, and we had a lot of pretty much closed doors, maybe taking a track, a lot that really didn't want to. We had really a couple of decent conversations, and one person that was cleaning their yard up and went to a church in town, Bethel, and I'm glad you're out here doing this, and gave him a track and invited him to the church, and a nice man, and said, you know, do you know for sure if you died today you go to heaven? And he said that he did, and he said, I'm so glad you're doing this. And he said, you know what? I'm just glad people go to church somewhere. I'm just glad they go to church somewhere. They go to our church, to your church, Catholic church. And I'm glad they just go to church somewhere and hear about Jesus. And pretty much it was all the same thing. And I left that thinking, really? It's all the same thing? That's what most Christian churches, the kind of gospel that they're preaching. You get your Jesus from anywhere you want, what any kind of gospel. If you're going to a Catholic church and hearing that works salvation, that will send anyone and split hell wide open. That is not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but that's what people from other churches just accepting of any way religion and any way you get there. No, there's one way to heaven, isn't there? One way to Jesus, and that is by faith through grace alone in Jesus Christ. He preached a clear and simple presentation of the gospel. I've told you this before, but I'll tell you again, but I remember as a junior high boy at the most, we went out soul winning. It was a men's soul winning time. I don't know if it was a Tuesday or a Thursday night, and we went with our pastor and his sons and my dad and myself, and my dad and pastor went on one side of the street, and me and the pastor's sons went on the other side of the street. I don't know why they did that, but that's how they planned it. And the boys probably had a whole lot more training than I did, because I had about this much training going out from what I remember. And all I remember is this, going to a door with a gospel tract and a knock on the door, and here's what I thought. Please don't open the door. Please don't open the door. Please don't open the door. You've been there before, right? Yes, you have if you've been knocked on. I don't want to talk, you know, oh no. And a young man answered the door, and they were partying inside, young men, and I said, and I invited him to the church, and I said, do you know 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven? He said, no. And I thought, okay, the next thing you're supposed to do is read the plan of salvation. So I took the back of the track, and I read him word by word, verse by verse, everything it said, nothing more and nothing less of what the track said. Because I said, would you like to know? And he said, yes. And so I read the plan of salvation to him. And at the end, I said, would you like to pray and ask God to save you right now? And he said, yes. His buddies inside were goofing around and partying and making fun of us. And he closed the door and stepped out to talk to us. And I said, would you like to right now ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you? And I probably not anywhere near saying it like that. And he said, yes. And I went, oh, no, here we go. Thank the Lord on that track. They had a prayer to lead someone to the Lord there. And, you know, you're not saying a prayer that saves anyone. I read through that prayer and he repeated and he asked the Lord to save him that night on his front porch. And I was pumped. I was excited. I couldn't believe it. Is it because I was a great soul winner? No. Is it because I had all the fancy things to say? No. But because as a boy, I took a track and knocked on a door and said, would you like to know about Jesus? And God did the rest. Amen? If you're willing to go and you're willing to speak up and to give a clear presentation of the gospel, though most people have never heard, they'd be ready and willing to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Give a simple and clear presentation of the gospel to people. Don't assume that people know they're going to heaven. Oh, they go to church. I'm sure they know it. Don't assume ever. Don't assume people know that for sure. Number four is this. Give an opportunity to receive Christ. As you see here in verse number 36, it says, and as they went on their way, he had preached to them Jesus in the previous verse. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He gave an opportunity right there. And the eunuch said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? You know what hinders you to be baptized? Being saved first. Amen? And then being baptized. That's the correct order. Baptism doesn't save anyone. But he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And they went down, both of them, the Bible says, into the water. They weren't sprinkled. He wasn't dunked halfway. He got dunked all the way into the water and came up out of the water, the Bible says. Very clear presentation of what salvation and baptism is. But he gave them an opportunity right there to be saved. It frustrates me to no end when someone does all the work to give the gospel, to tell someone how to be saved, and then they stop and say, well, if you'd think about it, maybe someday that might be a good decision to make. Remember this, with giving the gospel, we need to have urgency about the gospel. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Neither are they. And when you give the gospel, say, right now, would you like to receive Christ? It's amazing at that moment how many distractions come and how many other things people have to do at that time. Now, you can't force someone to be saved, but I'll urge them and I'll tell them, don't you want to be saved right now? Well, I don't really know. And I'll encourage them with this thought and say, you don't know if you have tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to threaten you. Be careful with that. But say, you don't know if you have tomorrow. Eternity is forever. It's forever. And if you die without Christ for all eternity, you'll be thinking, I almost got saved. I was ready, but I never bowed my head. He gave him an opportunity right then and right there to receive Christ as his Savior. Too many times we put it off to another time. You don't need a week-long Bible study to lead someone to Jesus Christ. Sometimes, you know, there might be some things you have to work through and some false beliefs, but give a clear presentation of the gospel. And if they're ready, now's the time, the Bible says. Today is the day of salvation, not later, not tomorrow, but today. Then lastly, look at this in verse number 39. And it says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way, what's the last word? Rejoicing. He left a man saved and rejoicing in the desert, maybe for no one else to see and no one else but knew what was going on, but the Spirit took Philip away, and there was a man there rejoicing because he had a home in heaven and his soul was saved because someone stopped and took some time to explain the scriptures that he was reading, how he could have a home in heaven. I don't know about you, but one of the greatest joys in all of the world is getting to lead a soul to Christ. And they bow their head and they accept Christ as their Savior. And there's rejoicing here, but the Bible says that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Amen. There's rejoicing in heaven every time someone bows their head to get saved. He said, well, I don't know. Do they really get saved? Do they really mean it? I don't know. That's between them and God. I'm not trying to force someone or trick them into it, but there's rejoicing, isn't there? When you think, praise the Lord that a soul got saved, that's one more person not going to hell. Amen? That's one more person on their way to heaven. Shasta Baptist Church, the purpose why God has placed us here is to preach the gospel in Redding community in Shasta County to every creature so that people would hear about Jesus Christ. And that's why God has placed you here, Christian. See, the job of being a soul winner isn't for someone else. It's for you. It's for every person, every day, everywhere that God places us, that you would be a faithful witness to lead someone to Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel. I said this before, the only hindrance to the gospel is you and me. The only hindrance, and I believe the greatest hindrance for the gospel being preached and for souls being saved are soul winners, saved people, someone that knows that they're going to heaven, that won't say anything. What a shame it would be to get to heaven and not bring someone else with you. You can't drag them there, but because they trusted in the Lord and you got to lead someone and bring someone to heaven with you. Isn't that a joy? Isn't that a blessing that you get to point someone else to the Lord? We don't do the saving, but God can use you. And He wants to use you if you're willing. As we finish tonight, I want to challenge you with a few thoughts. This week, I want to challenge you, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. This week, pray. That's why prayer is such a crucial part to giving the gospel and for souls to be saved. Say, God, would you lead me across someone's path today? And would you help me to be ready and willing to give the gospel to that person every single day? See, telling someone about Christ is not about a certain time or a certain day. It's every day that God has given us that responsibility and that opportunity. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit sitting. I challenge you this week, every day, say, God, would you lead me to a soul that needs Christ today and help me to be willing and bold enough to preach the gospel and to tell them how they would go to heaven. And then second is this, be obedient to give the gospel. Be sensitive to hear the voice of God, and the next, be obedient to give the gospel. And I believe with all of my heart that if we do our part, God will do His part, and we'll have rejoicing in heaven, we'll have rejoicing in earth. The Bible says, bring in the sheaves with us and seeing souls saved. Is there a burden on your heart? Is there an urgency in your life to see the harvest that's all around us, that responsibility that God has given to you, that God has given to me? This week, I challenge you, I urge you to point someone to Jesus Christ. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. We'll have a word of prayer. God, I pray that you would help us to see this lost and dying world the way that you see it. May we see people that need Jesus. May we see a soul on their way to heaven or on their way to hell. There's no in between. It's one or the other. May we see people the way that you see them. May we not be so distracted or so busy or too prideful or unwilling to go. May we be willing to listen to your leading today and this week. And Lord, may you point us this week to that person that needs to hear about Jesus Christ, that maybe they're willing, maybe someone that's praying right now, that you would send someone their way to point them to the Lord. Would you please lead us this week? May we be obedient and willing and ready. And may we rejoice in seeing the increase, Lord, that you bring of seeing a soul saved. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? Maybe tonight you would say, I don't know if the Lord is